All say amen. In the midst of our trials and tribulations, it is good to know that we serve a God that is able, that remains faithful even amidst our unfaithfulness to Him. And I'm reminded that God said, heaven and earth will pass away, but His word shall always be around. Good to see everybody this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. Just want to encourage your heart and to remind you that we're in a battle that has already been won. And I guess that's what motivates me, is to know that this battle that I struggle with in my flesh, all I have to do is depend on the Lord, and guess what? I can be victorious. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, Paul says, thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you back up to verse number 51, he talks about the sting of death. There is no death, no sting in death, because Jesus Christ took the sins of the world, and it's through death on the cross that you and I can be victorious in our relationship to Him. But what really is required is our steadfast attitude, our steadfast mindset in doing what He commands us to do. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58, Paul says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I guess that's what motivates me and drives me, to know that no matter what I say and do for Him, I can still remain victorious. And so this morning I want to talk about the joy of suffering. And I'm learning that we suffer sometimes in the wrong areas. But I'm talking about the joy that comes from suffering as being a child of God. See, we are not being persecuted because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are not being persecuted because we're naming the name of Jesus. Most of the time we're being persecuted is because of our own lusts and our own desires. And I'm learning that. I'm learning that I've seen very few people that have been persecuted for the cause of Christ. And so this morning I want to talk about and show you some examples of an individual that understood the joy that there is in suffering for the cause of Christ. And I'm learning, in order for you to really understand the joy that comes from suffering, you got to suffer. Amen. And I'm learning that we must suffer for the cause of Christ. Nothing else on this time side of life ought to be important to us, but whether or not we do what God commands us. And I'm learning that when you develop this mindset, it changes everything in your life. Amen, walls. I'm learning that when you really follow the Lord, you're going to have some problems. Amen. And your biggest problem is going to be in your household. Amen, walls. And the other problem is going to be in the house of the Lord. Amen, walls. And I'm learning, though, if you really want to understand the joy that comes from suffering, you got to hook up and hang out with Jesus Christ. And I'm learning, not everybody wants to do that. Amen, walls. Y'all quiet this morning. That's all right. That's all right. It's already been on my toes. You're just going to get some residual. But it's important to understand that in the midst of suffering for the cause of Christ, there is joy in it. James chapter 1 will be my lesson text for the next few minutes. And I want to show you and help you to understand that there's an attitude that the believer has to have when it comes to suffering for the cause of Christ. There's an attitude we must have and a relationship that we must have that helps us to understand that there is nothing on this time side of life more important than Jesus Christ. Amen. Not even your life, not even the death of your spouse or a loved one. Nothing is more important than whether or not when you lay your eyes and rest, you hear those words, well done. You know, Jesus said when He returns, every knee is going to bow. Well, I'm learning I want to bow my knee right now. Amen. So when He comes, I can be like the Apostle Paul. I want to see His face in peace. And so James says, James chapter 1 and round about verse number 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. James says, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, we ought to have some joy. Amen, boy. But what happens in the midst of our trials and tribulations? Hey, woe is me, boy. You don't know which way to head. You don't know which way to turn. But when you understand who holds the world in the hollow of his hand, that in the midst of trials and tribulations, you can be victorious, you can be steadfast, you can be unmovable, because you know that the trials and tribulations you're going through is there to make you a better person. I'm learning that. I'm learning that in the midst of everything that goes on in this world, if I hold to Jesus and God, I don't have to worry about a thing. We're so worried about everything on this time side of life. We're so worried about life, we don't even know how to live. Amen. We're so worried about the doctor. And I told my wife, I said, I don't want to get old. And my day, my good day, is going to the doctor. Oh, no, 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 no. When I get old, I want to be able to reflect upon the goodness of God. And in the midst of the trials and tribulations I face and getting old, I want to be able to say, thank you, Lord, that you've spared me to suffer for the... Oh, y'all quiet. Yeah, see this stuff here? It requires something. It requires us to really check out what's truly important on this time side of life. Verse number 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. You need to understand what James is saying here, that if we really believe that God is who he say he is, and we live our lives the way he commands us to live, guess what? You don't have to worry about life. How worried are we? We're afraid to die. You get sick and boy, you just, whoa, you're the worst thing in the world. Amen. But see, when you really understand that we're here for a purpose and all of this is just merely a Passover to eternity, then life takes on a different meaning. Look at what he says in verse number 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's some scary stuff there, because nobody sitting here thinks that he's double-minded. Nobody sitting here thinks that you're unstable. Everybody sitting here thinks that you're all right. All right? I'll go on back to sleep. But I want to show you this morning that in the midst of the trials that we suffer, there's some joy in knowing that no matter what happened, God will take care of us. The Hebrew writer said, Hebrews 13:5, keep yourself free from the love of money. Be content with such things as you have. For God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So with boldness we may say, the Lord is my helper. Therefore I shall not fear what man can do to me. See, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, we ought to understand something, that if God is in charge of our lives, nothing or no one can stop us or hinder us but ourselves. Job understood that. Job understood that no matter what transpired, God is in control. He reminded his wife, shall we not accept good things from the Lord when it's good? Boy, that's us, ain't it? Boy, we want good stuff. But what about when tragedy come along? Job says, shall we not also accept the tragedy that comes? The Bible says, in all of this, Job did not sin against God. How can you be joyous and happy? How can you be motivated, encouraged, and enthused in the midst of trials and tribulations? As members of the body of Christ, you need to understand we've been called out of darkness into a marvelous life. And I think sometimes we forget what transpired in this water. Nothing in the water but what was done by God through a spiritual operation. And I think sometimes we forget that God transformed us from the power of darkness Amen, Walls. Oh, it's not. Y'all gonna be like that with me this morning. No problem. 1 Peter chapter 2 and round about verse number 9. Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. When did he call us? When we went in this watery grave, he washed away all of my sins. Should I be excited? Should I be motivated? Should I be enthused in the midst of trials and tribulation? Yes, I should be. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and round about verse number 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom. See, I'm in the kingdom. I don't know where you at. I'm in the kingdom. And in the kingdom, I don't have to worry about nothing. Because God said, if you seek him first, Matthew chapter 6 and round about verse number 30. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. What other things? Back up into the text. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll clothe you. I'll feed you. And I will not leave you comfortless. That's why in the midst of my trials and tribulations, when Sister Harmon can't help me, I got some help. Amen. When you don't want to be bothered, I got some help. And my help comes from the God of heaven who gave me his spirit. And church, and I'm learning, until you listen to the spirit, you'll always have some problems with your trials and tribulations. James here says, in the midst of everything that goes on, you ought to be happy. Let something come up with us. Boy, you put your hand in your... Why is that? Because we bought into this system that the world says that you ought to mourn. But I'm reminded of what the psalmist said. Weeping endureth for a season, but joy. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Joy comes in the morning. Where you get the joy from? Knowing who's in control. Yeah, he says weeping endures for a season, but joy cometh in the morning. See, as members of the body of Christ, we've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. And as we've been called out of darkness into a marvelous light, we need to understand something. There is some benefits that you don't understand. Anybody in here understand benefits? Everybody in here understand benefits. You don't want a job unless they offer you good benefits. You don't marry nobody unless she... unless you got some benefits that you gonna benefit. y'all don't hear me this morning. Why? Because everybody wants some benefits. But there, I'm gonna show you. There's benefits in suffering for the cause of Christ. Benefits that is out of this world. Benefits that requires you, though, to do something to receive these benefits. In Romans chapter 8, and round about verse number 18, Paul says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory we shall receive afterward. What benefit? What benefit? If I suffer for the cause of Christ right now, guess what? I'm going to receive a crown that fadeth not away. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. If I suffer, the benefits right now is that God will help me during the midst of this suffering. See, there's some benefits that I believe most Christians don't understand. See, when you suffer for the cause of Christ, God puts his protective hand over you, and he helps you to endure the suffering that you're going through. That's why James said you can count it all joy. How can you be happy when all hell breaks loose around you? You got to understand who's over hell. Heaven. Oh, y'all ain't with me this morning, but that's okay. But here, Paul reminds the believer that the present suffering that we're going through right now, it can't even compare with the glory we shall be revealed. Church, and that's what motivates me. That's what drives me. To know that in the midst of trials and tribulations down here, God has a place prepared for me. Revelation chapter 4 and round verse Revelation 21, verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, for the former things will be passed away. Church, we got something to shout about. What's the problem? We don't understand what we got. Amen. See, in the midst of our suffering, if we remain steadfast and unmovable, church, there is some suffering that can't even compare with what shall be revealed in the days to come. In Philippians chapter 1 and round about verse number 27, Paul says, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in no trouble by your adversary, which is to them evidence, a token of penitude, but to you of your salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake, having the same affliction which he saw in me and now here to be with me. Paul says, you can't even imagine what's going to happen as you suffer for the cause of Christ. But you have me as an example. Point number one, attitude of suffering. Amen. I'm learning there's an attitude that we need to develop in the body of Christ. I keep telling you, until we change our vocabulary and our attitude, you can forget about making a higher plateau. I'm learning that you cannot reach any goal in life until you change this thing right here. Hey man, I don't know what y'all believe in, but I tell my children, you shoot for the moon. Don't worry about the stars, because if you don't make the moon, you'll be all right. Amen. Attitude. And until you change your attitude about who you are, you can never ever do anything for the Lord. I preach the gospel because I changed my attitude. I want to be saved. Amen. And so therefore I have an attitude. What's my attitude? I'm going to heaven. If you want to go, come on. If not, see ya. That's my attitude. If you don't want to work, you don't even have to move. I'll go around you. If you don't want to do nothing for the Lord, God bless you. But I'm going to do what he commands. Amen. Why? Because I'm going to make heaven my home. And every day I wake up and I look in the mirror, there's a wrinkle that wasn't there yesterday. Amen. There's a gray hair. Where did you come from? Some of y'all understand what I'm talking about, but you young folk keep a living. You'll find out that somewhere down the line, you're going to make some decisions in your life. I made a decision to go to heaven. Sister Hannah want to go? Come on. If the children want to go, come on. If not, see ya. And you're probably saying, man, that's cold. No. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. What did Paul tell the church at Philippi? Work out your wife's soul salvation. Work out your children's salvation. No, he said, work out your own soul salvation. How? With fear and trembling. See, there's an attitude of suffering. Jesus showed us how to suffer for the cause of Christ and how to suffer and be joyous in the process. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Although he was the son, yet he learned obedience. How? By the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus, the Bible said, although he was the Son of God, it was through his suffering that he learned how to be obedient. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Lord three times, if it be possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Then Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Then Jesus came to the conclusion, for this purpose was I born. Get up, y'all, let's go. Come back and find all of the church folks asleep. Couldn't y'all stay awake for 1 hour? Oh, that's some good prick, but that's, huh? Couldn't you worry about heavenly food instead of your belly? could you not watch for 1 hour? The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh, it's weak. See, there's an attitude that we must have. The attitude is that I'm going to serve God regardless of circumstances and situation. But in order for me to really do that, I have to surrender everything to Him. And I think that's our biggest problem. Some of us wouldn't give a crippled crab a crutch. Amen. But in order to serve God, you got to surrender everything. What does that mean? Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desire to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What does it profit a man, my brethren, if you should gain the whole world and lose your soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, Jesus showed us that in order for us to really follow him, we got to have the mindset to get out of the way and allow him to mold us and shape us the way he wants to do that. That requires an attitude. That requires a change in one's life. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, in order for you to understand the attitude of suffering, you got to understand that it's not about you, but it's about the God of heaven who sent his son to redeem man back to himself. Paul shows that our attitude is of suffering is based upon our willingness to follow Christ. See, there's an attitude that I don't believe that the body has in 2015. See, because the attitude is, I got to give everything for the cause of Christ. Everything that I have belongs to who? Do it. Y'all better be careful what you say, because he's sure listening. Because if everything I have belonged to the Lord, then why is the body so fragmented? If everything I have belonged to the Lord, why is it difficult for me to attend? I'll move on. But if everything I have belonged to the Lord, shouldn't I be the most happiest person on the face of the earth? Shouldn't I be the most motivated person on the face of the earth? Shouldn't folks know that Jesus Christ is alive and well? Because you can see him inside of me, poor as old Job's turkey, but I'm happy as I can be. Why? Because of who is in me. See, Paul was willing to give up all for the cause of Christ. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Philippians chapter 3. And round about verse number 3. As the Jews call Paul into question, Paul wrote some words to the church at Philippi and reminded them of who he was, and it really meant absolutely nothing. Paul says, well, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit, verse number 3. And rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I may also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he that whereof might have trust in the flesh, I more. I want you to get this. Paul said, you think you something? You ain't nothing. If anybody got confidence in the flesh, I got it more than you do. How in the world, Paul, you gonna stand before this Jewish audience or send a letter to the church and tell them you got more confidence than any of them there? Because Paul hits the Jews where they think they are. Just like I'm trying to hit you where you think you are. See, many of us think we're going to heaven. But the address is 7734. I'm gonna let you figure that out. And you call me later. But Paul here reminded the Jews of who he was. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 5, Paul says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I've counted loss for Christ. Yea, and doubtless I've counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul gave it all up. Can we do that? Y'all quiet. I understand. Because this is not something that comes overnight. This is something that one must believe without a shadow of a doubt. Because when you believe, it'll show in your life. Oh yeah, I'm learning. You can tell true Christians. Say, we talk about those folks that pack those bombs on them and blow themselves up. What do they believe in? I'm just saying, don't leave here saying the preacher said I need to put a bomb on you. But some of y'all might need a bomb to blow yourself up to get you moving, but that's all right. We won't go into that. But somewhere down the line, church, we got to believe this without doubting. Paul says in verse number 9, in the next couple verses, I want you to really get, because Paul says, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering made conformable unto his death. Paul says, I want to know Jesus Christ, and I'm willing to suffer everything for the cause of Christ. Boy, is that our attitude in 2015? Huh? It ought to be, because 2016 is right around the corner. And if we're not going to suffer now, you know what we're going to do in 2016? We're going to do like the commercial, same thing. Go through the same thing. Paul shows that there's an attitude for suffering. Point number 2, the attitude for suffering also leads to godly living. Godly living helps an individual to understand that if I'm going to live for God, I got to suffer some things for his cause. That means that he must come first and foremost in my life, and everything else takes the back seat. I love Sister Harmon, but she takes the back seat when it comes to my Lord. Amen. And she'll tell you. I love my kids dearly, but when it comes time to do what thus saith the Lord, come get the car, move me out the house, because my God is more important than anything else on the face of the earth. And I see your wheels are clicking, yeah, Brother Harmon, you talk that. I don't only talk it, I try to walk it. Because somewhere down the line, either you believe it or you don't. I don't know about you, when I was in the world, I didn't play. Amen, I've told you before, I was a sinner, and I was a good one. Amen. I lived every day as if it was my last. And you know what? Old dummy didn't know it could have been my last. See? Didn't know no better. And I try to live every day as if it's my last with Jesus. Because it might be. Because I don't want to stand in judgment. And he says to me, depart. It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Boy, that's some harsh words for the master to say. But see, godly living, one must understand that there's a price that one must pay. And that price is that I'm going to suffer for his cause. That's why Paul would write to a young gospel preacher some words to remind Timothy that if you're going to live for the Lord, you better have your mind ready. You better gird up your mind and understand what you must do. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and round about verse number 12, Paul says, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I now know in whom I believe and am persuaded that he is able to keep which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul reminds this young preacher that if you're going to live for God, there are some things that you're going to suffer. 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 5 and round about verse number 10. Listen to what Peter says. Peter talks about godly living. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. Peter says, and every man that has this, and everyone received the gift, That's not the passage I want. Well, I guess it would be if I get to the right one. Verse number 10. But the grace of our Lord, who has called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while. Why do you gotta suffer? God, you mean I gotta suffer before I can call you my Lord and say, yeah? Peter says, after you have suffered a while, look what God does. He makes you perfect, establish, strengthens, and he settles you. Church, I want to encourage you that godly living requires something. It requires every child of God to know that if I'm going to live for the cause of Christ, I'm going to have to be willing to suffer for that very reason. And in order for me to suffer, I got to understand that this suffering cannot compare with the things that shall be revealed. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. See, there is an attitude that I believe that comes with suffering. First and foremost, that attitude is being willing to surrender your will to the will of the Father. Be willing to take on and take any responsibility that comes for the cause of Christ. And when folks don't want to be bothered and neglect and do things contrary, count it all joy, because God is still in control. I want to leave you with a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 5 and round about verse number 16. There are some individuals here that have been told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And as the multitude see Peter and John healing these individuals, multitudes come to them. The Pharisees, Sadducees become very disturbed. Verse number 17 of Acts chapter 5, the Bible says, then the high priest rose up, and they and all that were with him, which is the set of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And they laid hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the door, prison doors, and brought them forth and said, go stand, not go hide. Not go sit, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. Boy, that sounds like the same thing we're supposed to do, huh? He didn't tell you to go home and close the windows and turn on the TV. No, he says go. And he said, lo, I'm with you when you go. Question, if you ain't going, okay, verse number 21. And when they heard that they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, both the high priest came and they which was with him and called the council together and all of the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officer came and found them not in the prison and returned and told, saying the prison truly found was shut with all safety and the keeper standing outside before the door. But when we had opened, we found no man within. But don't miss that. Boy, God is able. See, we read this, but we don't understand. God is able to deliver you from prison. Now, I ain't going to touch that, but I'm going to go on. Verse number 24 says, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard that these things, they doubted of them whereunto they were grown. Then came one and told them, saying, both the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Boy, would I have had a folk giggle stand at the donut shop. Would I have some star? Somewhere down the line, we got to make some changes. The Bible says in verse number 26, then went the captain with the officer and brought them without violence. And they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled all. Boy, boy, boy. Two people gonna fill all of Jerusalem with the doctrine. You fill all of Jerusalem with your doctrine, intending to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter said unto the Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. In the midst of our suffering, we're not by ourselves. The God of heaven said, I'll never leave you, nor would I forsake you. See, church, I'm learning there's some joy when we do things God's way. And in the midst of our suffering, we ought to look to heaven for the answer. I want to encourage you as members of the body of Christ. This year is rapidly drawing to a close. And I don't know about you, just like any business, just like anybody, you've got to take some inventory. I don't know about you. I try to inventory my life every day, whether or not I'm in the light or in the darkness. If I'm in darkness, I live around folks that don't mind telling me.
Right.
Amen. But see, that's a relationship. Something we've been talking about all morning long, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Want to encourage you, church. This year is drawing to a close, and I pray to God that we'll all see 2016. But if I happen not to make it, I like carnations and don't preach long. Okay? Amen. Somewhere down the line, you have to convince yourself that you're ready. One day, he's going to call us from this time side of life to the other side. What is he going to say to you? How will he view you? What legacy will you leave behind? Because money is no good. Relationships are no good. The only relationship that is good is that relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. Stop and think about it. See, you can shuck and jive me all day long, but you'll not be able to do that to him. If you're here, you fall short of the glory of God, make the changes. I don't know how many times I have to say it before I do it. Amen. See, you thought I was going to say you, huh? Mm-hmm. I know you did. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.